It is 93.3 WMMR in our great city of Philadelphia. Jackie Bam Bam, very excited because the countdown is on for our 2023 MMRBQ. Shinedown, Billy Idol, Larkin Poe, Aaron Jones, Dirty Honey, Finger 11, I'm not done, Tiger Cub, and Vixen 77. And I am honored, well, we are honored in capital letters to have one of them great eight I just mentioned joining us at our MMRBQ. And on the line with me right now is the one, the only, Billy Idol. Good day, Billy.
Hi there, Jackie. Hi, everybody at WMMR.
It's great to have you back aboard. Last time we spoke, you were just releasing your four-song EP. We did the Cage, the Roadside, and it's been in heavy, heavy rotation, Billy, for about, what, a year and a half now? Our WMMR and Philadelphia listeners love it, man. And we're really excited to have you back in town at our MMRBQ.
Same here. We're really excited to be playing there. And we'll be playing some of the Roadside and Cage EPs as well as the Idol Classics.
Last time we spoke, you worked with Butch Walker, and I love the tone that Steve Stevens is bringing out on the guitar on these brand new tracks. So like you said, we're going to get the new stuff. We're going to get the old stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we've had many years of fun with you, Billy. You've been through our great city of Philadelphia many, many times. And before our MMRBQ, we could say you were one of the first at our spring breaks. I don't know if we could flash you back and you recall, but in 2005, you played the Temple College Leah Cura Center along with Collective Soul and Silvertide. Did you remember that? There was sand all over.
Yes, I do. yes, I do remember that. It was great.
Anything you recall with those bands at all? Do you remember anything? Or
I just remember it was a fun night because everybody was at the top of their game kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's so great to have you back aboard with Steve Stevens, I mentioned. Can we ask who else is playing in the band that we will see at our MMRBQ, Bill?
On the drums, Eric Eldenius, he plays on Cage, the Cage EP. He's on that, a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Billy Morrison is rhythm guitar. Steve Stevens, of course, electric guitar, lead guitar. Steve McGrath, bass guitar. And Paul Trudeau, keyboard.
That's great. So I mentioned eight bands, well, seven, and you are eight. Any band or artist that you're looking forward to sharing the stage with, or maybe you shared the stage with before at our MMRBQ?
No, I haven't shared the stage with any of these artists before, so it's actually a great way of seeing what people are doing as well, just by playing with them, you know.
It is. Anyone you're looking forward to seeing the most out of the ones I just mentioned?
I'll just check it out. Just check them out.
Okay. It's an honor to have you. There's a lot of history with you in our great city of Philadelphia. You played our old air-conditioned girl, The Spectrum, which isn't there anymore. I believe you were there three times. I saw you with The Cult. You were there with Faith No More, The Stompers. You played the Tower Theater in Upper Darby with the Catch Me I'm Falling girl, Jade Starlin and Pretty Poison. You played our TLA, The Factory. But this time, you're going to be outdoors at our MMRBQ in Camadelphia, I call it, Billy, our FM center.
Fantastic, yeah. You know, I used to live in New York, so occasionally I would come to Philadelphia, see, like I saw the Clash and Combat Rock and Alan Vega in a club in Philly. So I really used to love coming there because it's a great music city. So we're playing in New Jersey in the barbecue in Camden.
Yes, this time around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And you mentioned New York, and I mentioned this before, Billy. You got to tell the story about drinking with Mick and Keith at the Cat Club, and how did that song Rebel Yell come about?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I was friendly with Ronnie Wood, and he was having in his brownstone and on the west side in New York. He was having a party one night for one of the Stones. I can't remember which Stone it was. It wasn't Charlie Watts because he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point in front of me during the night, at some point standing in front of me was Mick Jagger, Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood, but they were all drinking this big bowl, this kind of brown bottle of stuff that they were, you know, they were sort of, I was holding the label up to their lips to see what it was, and I could see, oh, there's some kind of Confederate cavalry officer that looks like sort of Jeb Stuart or something on the label, and then I saw, oh, it's called Rebel Yell, and I was kind of like writing songs for the Rebel Yell album and called it that, yeah. I was just thinking, God, I could use that title and I'd make it a cry of love, you know. But then I thought, what if they want to use it? What if they've had this bottle made up? So I said, did you have this stuff made up? And I think one of them said, no, it's a Southern Sour Mash. It's from Tennessee. I said, Tennessee, and it's called Rebel Yell. He said, yeah. I said, Rebel Yell, would you be thinking of using that as a song title? I mean, Jimmy Jack, Flash, Food Fighting Man, Rebel Yell. Does it sound like a Stones number? And they kind of thought about it for a bit. And then kind of said, no, it doesn't. I don't think we'd use that. And I thought, right. So I had about a few tracks with no vocals on it. I really had to come up with some lyrics. And so I went home and started to, well, soon after, you know, this, I went home and started to write the song Rebel Yell and then took it to Steve and we finished it off. And then later on, we recorded it. And yeah, it was all from really having this birthday party with the Rolling Stones.
You can't make that up. An amazing story. Thanks for sharing that with us, Billy. Hey, speaking of the greats, you said some Rolling Stones right there. A song that changed your life, and I was very surprised when you mentioned Elvis Presley, and That's All Right.
Yeah, you know, I really, you know, initially I didn't, you know, Elvis was already old when I was really young, when I was 6 years old or mm-hmm. 7 years old. Well, he wasn't really. He was just in his early mid-20s, but it was just he'd been around forever. But my sister really loved Elvis, and she loved Elvis, Neil Diamond, and the Monkees. So I know all those. She was always playing all their songs, so I know all those songs. But I thought I'd take her to an Elvis convention. They had an Elvis convention in Croydon in England, just outside London. So it was really just going to this Elvis convention, and you know, they had a load of photographs and crap like that, memorabilia that I wasn't really interested in. But then they started to show some of his movies, and then in chronological order, they showed his TV performances in 1956 going into 57, and you kind of watch him playing all this rockabilly stuff. He starts out playing Baby Let's Play House, and I expect, I don't know if he does that, It's All Right Mama, funnily enough. It's more like the Baby Let's Play House, Shake, Rattle and Roll. But he starts out doing all the rockabilly stuff and then he gets into the RCA rock and roll stuff. And it was, you know, it was just pretty incredible seeing the young Elvis. It was like, you know, this isn't the guy from the movies. This isn't the Hollywood guy. This is the sort of raw Elvis. And it was really exciting. And so, so I really got into his Sun stuff, the Sun music that he did, his first music in 1954, 55. That's what I like the most. And so that's what I really like. So that's why That's All Right, Mama. I mean, it kind of did change my life seeing these television performances in chronological order.
And you eventually got a private tour of Graceland from the late Lisa Marie, correct?
Yes, I did, yes. In the early 2000s, we played a show together. We were in Memphis, and afterwards she took me to Graceland and then took me around Graceland. I'd been there before, but then she took me upstairs into his bedroom, and underneath the covers was his kind of blue, fluffy slippers. The room's been left how it was the night he died, or the day he died, and those slippers were still there, and they were kind of sloughed at the sides where he dragged his feet. And there wasn't one rock and roll record in his bedroom. It was all gospel. It was wild. Most people, they don't take you upstairs, so it was pretty wild to get that chance. Lovely knowing Lisa Marie while she was alive. She was always really loving to me. She's fantastic.
Now, do you share these stories with your two little granddaughters, Poppy Rebel and Mary Jane?
Well, I will do, you know. Yes, I will do. But they both like music. So, I'm sure as they get a little older, I'll be telling them some of my stories and stuff.
Well, the last time we spoke, you only had one. And now Mary Jane is part of your family. I think that you told me that she only spoke three words, dude, duck, and fish.
Yeah, that was the Poppy. And Mary Jane says bubbles now, bubbles.
Oh, that's great. do they come out and visit you while you're doing shows and on tour?
Well, when I get back to Los Angeles, we're playing a show in Pasadena that's got Susie and the Banshees, Iggy Pop, me, and a load of other 80s acts. And that's on Poppy's birthday. I know they're coming to that.
That is so, so cool. Well, you can bring them to the MMRBQ, you know. I'll have a laminate waiting for them.
Okay, all right.
So you're going to have a residency in Vegas before our MMRBQ, I believe.
Yeah, in October, we just played 5 dates at the Cosmopolitan.
So we have 2 EPs out, and you were telling me last time we spoke, you could be putting out another EP and then maybe finalize it into a final album. Is that still in the works, or are we taking a different route, Billy?
Well, actually, Jackie, yes. By doing the EPs, I discovered you have to do as much promotion for an EP as an album. So we were going to do a third EP, but I think it's going to be an album now because I have to do the same amount of work. So it might as well be an album. And we've already got 5 songs coming. So we just need to be a 9-song album. And hopefully it'll come out sort of early next year, like March. We're in the process of making it, so can't really promise any timeline. But yeah, that's what we're going for, an album.
Will it still be on Donnie Harrison's label, George's Son, Dark Horse Records?
Yes, it'll still be on Dark Horse, yes, with Donnie Harrison and David Sunshine behind it as well, yeah.
Have you spoke to him recently?
Not for a little bit, but apart from sort of exchanging texts. Just over the holidays and things, but I will be seeing him. I'll be going there in June to play some shows with the Sex Pistols. Me and Tony James from Generation X are playing with Steve Jones and Paul Cook of the Sex Pistols. Generation Sex is cool. We're going to be playing a few shows in Europe.
Oh, that's great. You've done many covers in the set. Will we have any these covers in our set or MMRBQ, or maybe you're adding some covers into the set?
I think these are what we're doing mainly at the moment, apart from, well, Moni Moni. We also do Moni Moni, which is a cover. Most of the rest of the songs are, you know, Billy Idol, Steve Stevens, or whatever, you know.
I was very surprised when you told me the story about the Simple Minds song that your producer offered you first, Don't You Forget About Me.
Well, actually, no, he didn't. Keith Forsey, he was already working with me, but he'd written this song, Don't You Forget About Me, and he primarily wrote it for Simple Minds because he really liked their music. I loved them too, so I totally understood why he'd do that. He said, though, you know, if Simple Minds won't do it, maybe Brian Ferry would do it, because he was just looking to expand who he was working with, and just one of these funny stories that I turned it down, but he never offered it to me. You know, I would have done it if he had, you know, but he didn't. He didn't. I totally understand why he, you know, he was just trying to expand who he was producing, because he already had me. And then Simple Minds did Don't You Forget About Me, and then he did a whole album with them.
Billy, back in 1981, you moved to New York City, and you worked with the legendary Kiss manager, Bill Coin.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah.
Just a brilliant mind.
Yeah, he kind of knew. Bill had come out of television in the late 60s, I think, and so he still had a lot of sort of connections in TV, the TV world, and the cable world, so he knew MTV was coming.
Oh, way ahead of his time, right?
Yeah, he told me that there's this 24-hour music channel that's going to be coming, and you'll be perfect for it, sort of thing. So we both knew this thing was coming, and I already knew a lot of the people in England who made videos. I already knew them because of the Kenny Everett video show, where they kind of did a film clip in the middle of the show where they had, you know, the police or someone would do one of their songs. So I knew David Mallet and some of those people. So I already was set up to do videos. So Bill O'Coin knew that MTV was coming.
Wow. I wanted to mention, of course, The Who. You were part as the Ace Face back in 1996 on the Quadrophenia tour. You rode their Vespa up on stage to benefit cancer.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's a competition to win the horse. Take a picture on that mod scooter that I rode, during the performance. And right now, I think that's for cancer too. I do most of my charity work for teen cancer because my dad died of cancer. So the thoughts of young people having it and dying so early. So I do a lot of my work I do for teenage cancer.
Thank you for that, Billy. Two words for cancer. Cancer sucks. Loud and
clear.
You worked with Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath. Wow. You still in talk with him?
Just saw Ozzy because we did that Workday Rockstar Super Bowl commercial. I always see Sharon as well. I was sure Sharon Osbourne as well. Yeah, he's great. Ozzy's fantastic.
Yeah, he is. He's still going. God bless him, right? He doesn't owe us anything.
Yeah.
This upcoming weekend, Record Store Day, you've done something in the past with Amoeba in Hollywood. You do anything for this weekend? Any plans?
I'm not sure about this weekend, but obviously we will be putting out, this album we're going to be doing, we'll be putting that out on vinyl. And we did a show there recently at Amoeba called the sort of before the KGP coming out. You know, you go there and you can do an in-store. We'll do a little acoustic show me and Steve do, you know. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting, this acoustic duo we have, because a lot of the songs start out on acoustic guitar, funnily enough. So you can always take them back from the full band down to an acoustic guitar. And of course, if Steve Stevens playing, he can play like three people. So it's a pretty interesting acoustic experience. It's not so different, you know. It's still got the same energy, you know, the songs.
Yeah, you strip them down, and like you said, Steve Stevens, one of the best, and one of the best haircuts at rock and roll, I must add.
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, Billy, it's so great to talk to you. We're really honored to have you at our 2023 MMRBQ. And like I said, your fans here in Philadelphia at WMMR, ever since we've been playing it, and we've been playing it for like close to 2 years now. Of course, the Roadside, Bitter Taste from the Cage EP. We love the brand new material, and we're going to love hearing all the classics as well. It's going to be a great day, Billy.
A great day indeed. I'm really looking forward to it, Jackie, and everybody at WMMR.
Thank you so much for your time. Anything else you'd like to say to your listeners?
Just have a great time out there and keep rocking.
Billy Idol, thank you so much for your time. We will see you at our 2023 MMRBQ. Safe travels, my man.
Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, everybody at WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.